You're listening to Beauty, Strength, and Dominance, the official podcast of Lingerie Fighting Championships. And now, here's your host, Michael Lutkin!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another edition of Beauty, Strength, and Dominance, the official LFC Lingerie Fighting Championships podcast. My name is Mike Larkin, and joining me today is LFC fan, is photographer, is an unpublished author, a woman, a Jill of all trades, if you will, the one, the only, my friend, Miss Felicia Polifka. How are you, Felicia?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. I'm very good. Felicia, you and I have known each other since, my goodness, 99, 2000, and it's always a pleasure to include not only fans of the product, but fans and just friends, my overall peers onto this show, where there's a lot to dive into in today's form. So I'm really appreciative of your time today. I thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty, so let's start it out here, folks, because if you guys have not checked out Felicia and her photography side of things, this woman has a great eye for photography, the imagery, the overall ambiance, dare I say, the je ne sais quoi, the pizzazz, the panache, however you want to define the terms of endearment here of the photography world. I want to ask you, how did you get involved as far as photography? What kind of gravitated you towards that world? Because you have been putting out some excellent photos.
So it all started back in 2009 when my mom was a photographer and she went to college for it, but she never actually got her degree. So I was her model. So was my sister and cousins and everything like that. So it was just kind of family made pictures. But when I had my own daughter in my oldest in 2012, I was like, okay, I want to get into a hobby that I can not only appreciate, works of art and everything like that, but I can also involve the family and I can break out into other families if I choose. And so I decided I wanted to get into photography and everything. And the camera that I used 13 years ago, I still have to the day. I still use the same lens and everything. And I have actually grown from being a family photographer, a wedding photographer, kind of a generalized overall kind of photographer to I'm honing into conceptual artistry and everything. So all ethereal vibes and goddess vibes and everything like that, that's what all my art has turned into. So I started deep diving more into it and it felt right. That is the way everything's going. So, yeah.
As my cat goes on me here in the back. I was just about
to say, you got a cat on you.
No, I love that. No, I don't mean to cut you off. My apologies. But here's the thing. What I love about it, too, is I think with any different types of art forms, whether it be ethereal, what have you, and I've noticed a lot from, like, you've done, like, a lot of horror-type vibes of, like, Little Red Riding Hood. There was, like, Hypnosis, and you've really gone into, okay, well, that's a horror vibe.
Recent one. Yep.
Right, exactly. Like, you go into, like, some horror vibes, you go into, like, different time of vibes. It's really, like, variety. Like, anything in life, you have to look at it in perspective, like, life is an art form. We're all applying our crafts. So yeah. If you're applying your craft of different varieties and preferences and differences, I think that's golden, man, because you really have a plethora on your hands.
It's conceptual art, and art is whatever you choose to make it. So I make it whatever I feel like at that moment. And that horror Red Riding Hood one, is one of the five images or one of the images in that set actually made it into a magazine. And I have five other magazines and the starting of COVID. So 4 years ago, I started getting into art exhibits. And the first one I ever got into was Barcelona, Spain. And in the same art gallery, but across the hall, was another one that I got into at the same time.
Wow. And first off, congratulations on those fronts.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. But no, I think that only not only does that show and also being featured in magazines, what have you, I think not only the notoriety, not only the overall exposure, because in a way, not with art, like it created, like think of it like creative content and content creation today, you have to do your thing and not only just put yourself out there, but I think with what you do and what you manifest and put out into the universe, I think with what you do from the imagery standpoint and your overall, dare I say, representation of your presentation, that stuff just boom, comes into fruition. Then boom, you make it manifest, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
And I got to say, from the artwork and the photography work that you do, I think it's great that we get a lot of people out there. Like, for instance, with what we do with LFC here, Richard Enberg does a great job with Le Regard photography. And I put over any photographer out there because I think not only these subtleties, intricacies, and nuances, but it's storytelling also at the same time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if you can put that into fruition and tell a story from the visual side of things, and I'll make a pop culture reference. We grew up on them. I'll talk about the Joy painting. We'll talk about Bob Ross and his Jufro. Like, if you could watch the Joy painting for 30 minutes and then see how he visualizes his paintings and then boom, I think that's golden because not only is that, but it's the eye. It's the eye for what you want, that art and that overall visual image.
Yep. And like I said, art is whatever you choose it to be. Like, as a joke, I took a crumbled up old water bottle and crumbled it and hot glued it to a piece of cardboard and then hot glued a straw into it. And I called it like illusion of something. And it sat on my desk and everybody who came over was like, that is so cool. I was like, it's just crumbled, but it goes to show you can turn art from anything.
I think that's what I love about it too, is, and I include this with, we'll talk about the LFC product here. Some people, when you look at the name, because as they say with anything, it's all in a name, right? You look at the letters LFC, Lingerie Fighting Championships. People always look at the L, and no, I'm not talking about the L with the shape of an L on your forehead, like it's smashed up all star here. I mean, for you, I think you can equate with this. People always look at lingerie and it's just like, oh, but I'm like, you have the Lingerie Football League, which is badass women kicking ass, but looking
sick
and football. Mixing MMA and wrestling and the sensuality, the internal, external beauty, and the overall foundation that is a woman, sex sells and sex appeal. And not only it helps the marketing strategy and all in itself.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you actually pay attention to a lot of marketers, like that's all it is. I don't know how they do it, but they did it on M&Ms. And you know what? Hey, I bought more M&Ms after that.
Oh, absolutely. And I look at it like this too as well. Like, and I'll take it back because I mean we're both music lovers, and I think the listeners here can attest to this. It's like when you're watching the late great Tawny Kitaen in the Whitesnake video. Here I go again on my own. That woman is all up and down that car, and people talk about that image from that video.
Yep. Still to this day.
Absolutely. And I mean, even Britney Spears, like Britney, when she first came out with Baby One More Time, oh my God, the schoolgirl outfit. Like, come on now.
Everybody lost it. Everybody loved it.
But I think that's the thing with today. And I mean, things really need to stick. And I've always said this to people, if you could have things stick, because I think now in today's day and age, everything kind of gets crumpled up and disposed like a week later. You have to find something that's timeless and endless that really sticks. And then you just get your own eyes, nose to the grindstone, right?
Yep.
And I think speaking of nose to the grindstone, I've always said this about you, and I say this with the utmost sincerity and kindness. Like, I've known you since 99, 2000, second and third grade. Like, you and I are both school chums, if you will. And you and I have known each other, which is crazy to think, for over 20 plus years now. But I can always say this about you, and I, again, sincerity and respect. You've always had that vibrancy about you, man, that creativity. And to see where you got into your photography, I'm very proud to see the woman that you've become.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I think that's what also makes women, like, we have the Goddess Among Us contest here, folks. Like, Sean and I have talked about this, LFC CEO Sean Donnelly. Like, you look at the term goddess, like you mentioned art. Goddess can be anything, any type of woman. Doesn't matter if you got the curves, the word spins, the verb. If you're, doesn't matter. You could be anything. Like, a goddess is really the representation of anything that you make it and how you overall view women and just people as all-around individuals, right? And for you, I got to say this first and foremost, speaking as the woman side of things on this front, I got to say a lot of women have been kicking ass and taking names of all different aspects, whether it be sports and what have you. It's great to see the evolution of women, not only for the respected side of things and their overall wisdom and their appreciation and beauty. How awesome is it to see for you just everybody, just women, just going out there and kicking ass and taking names and being a woman in yourself and a very strong one? You could be a mother, you could be whatever it is. That's the overall foundation of who you are. Like, how awesome is that to see how far women have
come? Revolutionary. looking from like the 1950s where all women were stuck in a house, do all the housework, can't get a job, can't vote, can't do nothing, to it, even though it's still technically a male dominated world, we're coming up and we're coming up strong and we're, yeah, kicking ass, taking names.
Absolutely. And I think what I love about the brand that we have, and I think just women in general, I mean, you look at lingerie fighting championships, a lot of women have great stories. Like some of them, it's like, all right, I feel empowered. I feel into this. And I think for you, I think how much body confidence is. I look at how many great women that we have in the voluptuosity factor that goes into each and every woman's performance and their entertainment value, so to speak. It's like, how awesome is that to see just the empowerment statement? Okay, I'm going to kick your ass and take some names, but lingerie, I look sexy and I look good, do it. And also comfortability and accommodation comes with it, everything, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, growing up as a female and society says, oh, if you're not this skinny, you know, you're shit. And then growing up and coming into some volume on the body, it kind of dampens the self-worthiness, but once you get used to your own body and you get your confidence back and everything, oh, you can take on the world. Just absolutely take on the world.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll put this over here, folks, as y'all can see my guest here. You got your fly, no lie. You got a very nice look to and appeal to you. We'll put that straight forward to you. Yeah. You're welcome. But no, that's the thing. I think not only is it just like everybody's cup of tea, but it's just like, I've always said this too. We live in a world, and I've always hated this, like body shaming is just the most ridiculous form. And the reason why I put that too
is
you have body positivity. You have magazines where I always look at it like this. It's like, okay, people are going to complain about something, but also at the end of the day, you and I have grown up with this song. Look at TLC's I'm Pretty, for God's sake, how empowering that song was, that really revolutionized, okay, I'm woman, hear me roar, but I'm woman, I like who I am, fuck what everybody else says, to put it in the bluntest terms, right?
Yep.
And I think for you as well, to equate this to today's discussion, and what I love about it too as well is you are very honest, you are very blunt, but also at the same time, that's a very magnetic trait that people can gravitate to, as I do the little image there right here. It's one of those things that people also entice with. And I mean, for you, I mean, photographer, mother, just an all-around badass in your own right, Felicia, and now unpublished author. Now, you, ma'am, writing a book. And I love that because everybody has a story to tell, number one. But number two, tell us what the title's going to be and what can we expect from this book, man. I'm excited.
So the title, I have notes over here of a few different things. So the book title is called Shattered Innocence, A Journey of Abuse and Survival. So it technically all started ish about the time that you've met me. I had to go through hardships in life and everything. And then when my stepfather finally came into the picture, it kind of got worse. And all women can attest, there is somebody, some guy specifically, that sees you more of a sexual object. And mine happened to be my stepfather. And from that, he gave me CPTSD, a bad body image. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail so you can actually understand. I was sold, trafficked, and abused in several forms of way. And it took me... See, he started when I was 11 years old and then got back into it when I was in my teenage years. And then when I turned 18 and had my first real boyfriend that was getting serious and everything, from that moment, I was like, there's no more. I'm cutting this off and everything. And went through a hardship of marriage, got out of that toxic relationship, had a kid from it, got with another guy that I was talking to for years, thought he was going to get, you know, have a good life with him, got a child from that, but that child came from rape, and I wasn't even fully divorced, and it's going to be in the book as well. So hardship from hardship to hardship. And then finally, after 3 years of being with that guy, I got, you know, pulled up my boots and I was like, okay, I have to get myself out of this situation. I'm not going to keep letting guys walk all over me and destroy myself that I didn't even get to a point where I knew who I was, because I worst. And 5 years ago, I was like, okay, I'm here. I'm making a stand and I'm going to get everything done. So I worked really hard. And just last year, I sent down a message to NCMEC, which is National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and told them pretty much my story. And then they contacted OSBI, which is Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, and NCMEC found me a therapist and paid for the first 12 sessions. And I've been going weekly. And in July, I will be there for a year. And even my therapist said, writing the book is not only going to be cathartic, but it also might help other people and other, it not even just women, but people in general, because it happens to both guys and girls, that what I've been through can also be applied to somebody else. Even if mine was the worst case scenario, it can be applied to, you know, my ex-husband and having that relationship. And we were together for almost 10 years, but we were married for 5. And after, it's kind of ish started before like being married and everything. But after like the second year of being together, he was in the military. We didn't go overseas. We actually stayed stateside, but he was in the military. He was an alcoholic, abusive. He put me down constantly, no matter how hard I tried, because he compared me to his mother, his sister, and all of that. But I was also trying to become my own person after the abuse from my stepfather. So I was in this catch 22 double-edged sword of, I'm trying my best to be my own person, but now I have my ex-husband telling me I'm failing. So again, and out of that relationship, going to somebody else, and then not even out of the marriage, right before doing the divorce papers, he raped me and everything, got a child. And yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. My goal is 450 pages and 22,000 words in about 30 chapters. It's going to be a thick book, and it's only going to be the only one. When I do finally release it, because I just started the rough draft of rough drafts, it's going to take a minute, probably 2 years or so, maybe up to 5. When I do release it, there's going to be 200 hardback covers that are going to be signed from me. And then the rest is going to be paperback, which are not going to be signed. So depending on which one you get, you have my signature, you don't have my signature. But the people who I have asked to be put into the book, not only my therapist notes, but like the people who are going into the book is outside point of views of going to school together. How did you see me growing up and being near me 24/7, you know, at school and everything? Did you think anything was wrong with me? Was there anything out of the blue that you were like, whoa, something's going on with her? Or did you see me as, she's just doing a daily life, she's just someone that's going to school? And a lot of them actually said, I got the sense that she was a strong, independent girl and she can hold her own, but there was a little something that was wrong, but she never said. She did the daily life, which to me shows I threw that mask on really well to not only hide the abuse, but to show that I am still a child. I'm still going to school. I'm not trying to go out of my way to hurt somebody, because hurt people hurt people. So I didn't want to be like that. I wanted to go completely opposite. I wanted to be love light and everything else. And yeah, it's a long book. And like I told you before, you are actually mentioned in the book, and it's actually the first like couple paragraphs in I made mention of you. So well, like as soon as you open.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very grateful and appreciative of that. And I'm going to say this, I could say as someone who was around you from that time period, besides the fact I've also brought it up on a couple of podcasts, we've touched upon this. I think one of my first early memories of you was the RCK playground, which is no longer there, which sucks because that was a great playground. And this one over here just bada boom, kissed me right on the lips on top of the friggin' tower over here. So that is an early memory. And what I could say about you, my friend, is you were always a very free spirit, and you were always just, I think what I remember about you was just your smile and just your fun, just overall being in spirit is really all I could say. I think it was something that a lot of people could gravitate to, including myself, which is why here we are today. But I think that's what I always say. I always try to see the good in people. And I mean, I could speak for myself. I mean, I had a father who was my father, and I get along fine now, but I mean, he was always verbally abusive, but I mean, he was a workaholic, but I think from what he was, and I could speak from his stance, I knew he knew that he needed some help. And right now, I mean, he's on medication. He's got himself in check, so to speak. Not a bad man, but you know, you need to sometimes admit you have a problem. And I always say that to people as well. The best thing to do is really open about it. But I think in your situation, this is where it ties in LFC. What I've always found is doing this show, yes, we could talk about the sexy vibes, we could talk about lingerie and all that stuff, but really getting down to the nitty gritty of who the person is. Like, there's been a couple of girls who have been in like abusive relationships, and we talked about it on the show, which is how it kind of gravitated towards LFC. And I think it kind of equates to, like, remember growing up, we had movies like Jennifer Lopez and Enough, which is very adaptatious and adaptation of film, kind of art and imitating life. So, I mean, stuff like that does happen. And I think it's very brave of you that you're telling your story and you want to write a book and just like, hey, man, this is it. So I applaud you for that. It's very brave.
Thank you so much. Yeah, not when I go to Barnes & Noble, like, I don't really see anything about abuse. Like, there's sections for therapy and everything like that, but you don't see autobiography. This is what happened. So I took that. I talked to my therapist, and she said, if you want to do it, do it. Go for it. And if you're going to go for it, go big or go home. And I was like, girl, you know me. I do big. I do all of it. And I'm not afraid to tell my story.
I think what a lot of people can say, and I can speak this as far as books go, because it's funny you bring that up, because a lot of sections don't really like focus on that. I mean, there's some, but it's not a lot.
Yeah.
I think what I found like reading on Kindle when I was in a bad mental state, and I can say this wholeheartedly, folks, I think if you read mental health books like Rewire Your Brain, which is a very good one, like it talks about like stuff like, okay, here's what you could do to make things that you feel are negative and change it to a positive. There's stuff that's out there for everybody. But I think not only that, but I think it's your overall journey. And I think it's overall self-analyzation. It's also just analyzing and being aware of your surroundings. And I think as a strong woman that you are, I think you've really made yourself like, okay, here it is. Boom, boom, boom. I'm strong. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let anybody come at me like this or like that. But boom, I'm going to do my path and I'm going to stay on it, which again, very admirable. But I think a lot of people need to realize not only just self-worth that they have, the journey's worth taking, and how life really is precious and about being in that moment. But the moments and memories are created, but it's up to us to have more moments and memories yet to be created, so to speak.
You have to. You kind of have to look at life of how it is and what it is. Life is absolutely beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's amazing. It is once in a lifetime experience. The surrounding, the wars and everything, that is man being man, so to speak. It is destructive and everything. But if you not put it to the side, but you look at what's right in front of you and try to remove yourself from the situation. What is going on in your life? I have a house. I have children that love me. I have friends that love me. I'm writing a book. I'm doing the photography. Taking a step back and then realizing I've came so far in my life should be applied to everybody at least once a year, and not on New Year's. Nobody's going to stick to nothing on New Year's. Just randomly out of the blue, just have a little self-awareness and it will humble you for the rest of your life, because we're constantly running on E, we're tired, we're sluggish, we want to keep going because society tells us to keep going. But sometimes you really just need to stop and smell the roses and see how far you've come in your life. You knew me in New York, and now I live in Oklahoma, and I've traveled a little bit, not by choice, but I've been to places, new experiences, just kind of an all over thing. And I quite enjoy life. Yes, there was moments, you know, with the stepdad situation, my ex-husband situation, and even being with technically he was my fiance for 3 years. There was moments where, you know, my mind went down a very dark path, but then I had to work to get myself out of it. And because I had me, myself, and I to get myself out of it, I appreciated myself so much more. And I loved myself so much more, because sometimes you just need yourself to help yourself. You can't rely on everybody else. You need yourself.
Agreed. First of all, beautifully said, number one. And number two, I always looked at it like this. I used to call it the LOA, and it's called the level of acceptance, folks. Like, when you're in school, you want to have the cool this, the cool that. You want to hang out with so-and-so and such. But I think as we get older, not only through all the ish that we are that we go through, and yes, I said ish, the ish that we go through, whether it be good, bad, or what have you, I think it's the feelers that are out there. You know, yeah. God gives us a little bit of a test, so to speak. And I think it's up to us to see how we go and with our journey. But I think with you, and again, knowing you from New York to where you are now currently in Oklahoma, I think it's just like the journey is really taking you to a place where it's like, okay, my story needs to be told. This is me. This is who I am. I like myself. The confidence is there. And the glow is there. Let's point this out here, folks, with my guests here. The glow is right there. Bada bing, bada boom. Vibrancy. I'll put that image back into place. But I think stuff like that really goes to show a lot of great people out there in this world, number one. But it's kind of like a philosophy, if you will. The way to look at it is be kind, be humble, be attentive, be professional, mm-hmm. and be in the moment. And I think
have a little empathy. You never know who's going through what.
And I'll add another E word to that, because this one over here, putting out the word empathy over here, I will raise you on that E word, ma'am. And I will say we're also kind of like an escape, because I mean, yeah, for those going through it, like, they can read your book as an escape. They can listen to this as an escape. You never know what one person's going through, but also at the same time, if you can brighten that person's day, no matter how long it may be, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, years, months, what have you, that's rewarding at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why some of the pictures, especially when I'm going to do the ethereal ones, because it took me a while to find all of that and everything, but I have 16 different models ready to go, technically on my team. I have a videographer ready to go. Any one of the 16 models was like, can we do an escapism? One of them wanted to do a Harry Potter one, so that's going to be coming soon. One of them wanted to do like a fairy cottagecore type of thing, like just whatever you can imagine for your escapism, just do it and wear the clothes. I've seen a lot of people who are like, I want to be goth, wear the clothes. I want to wear fairy cottagecore, wear the clothes. Like, if it makes you happy, be happy. That's the whole thing in life right now, because you're going to get negativity from everywhere, including my photography. I know it's coming. I've actually had a few people back in the day when I was shooting weddings, which I no longer do because that was a pain in the ass. That was too much work. And my images were still good. I did 5 weddings within the first year of picking up my camera. That is almost unheard of because I did not market that. And some of them were really good. Some of them, I'm like, I picked it up like a couple months ago. You got to give me some grace and everything, but it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to get negativity from somebody. Just be happy and keep going.
Right. And the way I've always viewed it too is, and I think you know me for my work and my listeners know me for my work, like most of my content is pop culture, wrestling, LFC, what have you. And people look at like, Mike, you're still into that wrestling stuff? Yeah. I've been a professional wrestling fan for 22 years, and it's something that I know and I could talk about. And I've got to interview people who have been in the business and who are up and coming.
You're going to go tell that to The Undertaker, who's been in, you know, the wrestling business for 30, 40 years? You still doing that?
Right. It's like The Undertaker just retired, but the man was in the business for 40 fucking years. Like, you want to tell The Undertaker, like, oh, yeah, you're still doing that wrestling? Yes, because he's a fucking character. He's a larger
than life. And he loves it.
He loves it. And that's the thing. Like, you have to love what you're doing. And I also look at it from you. Like, I can tell from looking at your work, you love what you're doing. The girls with what we do at LFC love what they're doing. They get in the ring. They put their bodies on the line. Mm-hmm. Yes, much like wrestling, can it be scripted? Sure. But, like, they fucking feel it.
You can only hit somebody with a fake chair so many times.
Just like, and that's it is. Oh, yeah, they don't, I've always been fascinated with people like that, because it's like the negativity, first of all, brings negativity, number one. But I think also with the introduction of social media, which I will say this, if I wasn't doing this like we're doing here in today's form, I would probably not be on social media like at all, because it's just become such a fucking pain in the ass. Because
everybody wants to do this. Where you look, it's politics. And like, yes, you have to keep up with politics
too. Of course.
But it's just so much negativity on social media that if we can just go back to the 90s just a little bit, like maybe a year or two, where there's nothing and people actually talking to each other. I mean, I love being on the podcast and everything, but like, get off of social media, talk to people one-on-one, because doing this all day, I don't want to talk to you. I got enough problems now. I don't want to talk to people like this.
And straight up and down, like 6 o'clock, I will say this, like, you and I will talk off the podcast or whenever. You and I could have a conversation, of course. But the point is, like, people nowadays, it's like, it's so funny, because it's like, if you were to like call somebody and not text, people look like, what are you doing? Like, I have your number. I want to talk to you. Yeah. I'm going to give you a phone call.
Right. Call me anytime, but you got to text me first.
We've become so
dependent.
I hate saying it like that, Felicia, because thank you. You beautifully said, but it's like we're so into this nowadays, or we're into this because we got to fight all the time. Yes. It's not a lot of this. Stop it.
Yep.
That's the thing. Like, I think I can just speak again, being fellow 90s kids that we are, Miss Polifka. I think it's just because we grew up on like the telephone and the wire being on top on the phone. And like,
That wire was like 3 miles long, and you're going to trip everybody in the house if you had to take it into the other room.
Right. Like, I couldn't wait to come home from school. Like, say I had your number, whoever's number. Like, we do our homework, we eat dinner, then we just talk for like the rest of the night. Like, that's the normalcy of how life was. But now it's just.
Or we were, what, 5 houses away from each other?
Right.
Diagonally. So we just out the door. Bye. All right, go.
Exactly. Because we live in it. Yes, that's correct. Yep. But that's the thing. It's just nobody wants to go outside, because it's like, first of all, I love video games. But like, if I wasn't shooting hoops back in the day, because I had the basketball hoop like everybody did in their backyard, that was my peace. That was my serenity. But nobody wants to fucking do that anymore.
We had storms recently. I'm actually kind of surprised it's not storming right now, because we're supposed to be getting more storms. Right. For the 5th day in a row, you catch me outside.
How about that? Yes.
Yeah. I love watching the storms here. We actually had a couple of tornadoes that kind of took out two towns, and I pray for the families and everything. But like, every time it storms, I'm outside. Nope, I don't care. Don't talk to me. I'm outside. I'm enjoying the weather. Just leave me alone. That is my peace, my serenity. I don't care if the tornado sirens are going off. It's a southern thing now that I have buried in my soul. If it's storming and there's a tornado, go outside. You gotta make sure it's not coming and hitting your house.
Right. And I think being the southerner that I am now, technically speaking, because again, coming from Long Island, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, plus there's no snow here, so that's a plus. But I mean, it's just
get like 6 inches and call snow days.
But yeah, mostly it's just, it's sunny, or there might be some rain. Like, you know, we had the deck from a hurricane. Thankfully, it didn't hit us. But like, that's like the worst of it. Like, I'd rather, in a way, take that and like tornadoes and stuff rather than snow, because I fucking hated the snow, to be completely honest with you.
The blizzards. I don't miss the blizzards.
No, and I don't know if I think you were around for this. Like, it's like when school would start, it's just like, we never, I can say this about the East Islip School District going through it, like, we hardly ever had a day off. It's like, okay, we're going to give you a 2 or 3 hour delay. I'm like, motherfucker, there's snow like piled up. Like,
it's as tall as me. You want me to walk to school? Because we were in walking distance. I had to explain to not only my wife, but a bunch of my friends, our little streets were 4 houses, and it was like 4 of them, a long road going down, and then there was the school. Like, you were walking to school. It's in walking distance type of thing. Your parents ain't going to drive you to school at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're still sleeping. Go to school.
Right, exactly. Like, and I can say this, like, growing up, like, well, high school, like, my first period, geez Louise, like, we started like 7:26 in the morning. And again, walking distance from the high school, because like, so where I lived on Lomar Drive on Isle Terrace. So I lived on that corner. I just had to walk around the corner, go through the elementary school. High school's right over there. Yep. That's how easy it was to walk to.
Just a little bit farther than everything was like right there too. Middle school, high school, and elementary.
It's so funny because like when I started going to middle school there, it was originally the Islip Terrace Junior High School. Then it became the East Islip Middle School. I'm like, it's practically, and I'll put it to you like this. So we talk about schools like being like right next to each other. Like, Islip Terrace and East Islip are like a town over. It could practically be like the same goddamn thing, to be completely honest with you, because of how close it was. So the name change wasn't really necessary, but all right, if y'all want to do that, that's fine with me.
Okay. They're rebranding the same thing. Okay, we're going with it.
Yeah, it's just, it was what it was. And I've always said this about like our, and I've said this because we both graduated and we went to Roosie Kinney Elementary School, folks, which is Islip Terrace, New York, Long Island. The fact that they took the playground down also made me sad, because you're the one, you son of a gun, who brought it to my attention. I'm like, you fucking kidding me? Because like, heard about it.
Yep, the old wood one that you got so many splinters on, doesn't matter where. Yeah. I miss those. Bring those back.
It's like, but also
make one for an adult size.
Right, but it also goes to show like how much not only time has passed, but it's just like we talk about here in today's forum, folks, like, be in the moment. Like, those are fucking moments right there, man.
Yep.
Oh, but you know, I will say this, because we've discussed a lot. And first of all, when your book comes out, not only I can't wait to read it, but I think a lot of people are going to enjoy the story and really get a deep dive and adapt to what we get to see within your work. And I got to say, best of luck with you on that first and foremost, because I cannot wait. I think you're going to do very well.
Towards the back of the book, I've already kind of designed it in my head. So when you hit the chapter of me being 11 years old, there's actually going to be a page that says, hey, like, I'm going to have to put a trigger warning on a few things, but hey, trigger warning, from behind this page is going to be the start of, you know, the disgustingness. I'm going to just call it as it is. It's disgusting. No kid at all should have ever gone through anything like that, especially me. Not like I was just an innocent child. Literally, that's what it was. I was an innocent child, and it was beautiful. And it wasn't just my stepdad who did something. It was my biological uncle. Well, it's my aunt that's biological, but her husband, but still.
Right.
So like, a lot of people in my life hurt me that I thought I should have trusted. And so after that page, it's going to start everything. But towards the back of the book, is going to have all the receipts, as the kids say, the text messages, the emails, the screenshots, all of like going through the mindset of that period of time of I don't want to live anymore, but I have to keep going. And I pretty much found the strength within myself to keep going in order to write this book, I guess. I knew it. I was going to do something spectacular with my life. I just didn't think it was going to be writing or photography or anything. I thought I was just going to have a dead-end job at a cubicle, minding my own business. And I mean, I'm going to do that too. I'm going to school for accounting. So,
all right.
Yeah.
All right, hold on here. Now, Miss, I'm going to school for accounting. We're going to bring this up. And second of all, I will say this. I think it's great, not only, and the fact that you said receipts just is going to make us even look more, as the kids say, yes. But no, I think what's great about it too, as well, is not only just putting it out there, but also bringing awareness to it.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I think not only people need to do it, and do I hate term of like people calling out people on social media for unnecessary bullshit, sure, but for stuff like this, yes, it's telling your story and putting everything into the forefront. Like, I mean, have you watched the Quiet on the Set documentary yet about Dan Schneider and the Nickelodeon stars?
Yes. Like, I was doing my poly by myself, starting school graduation ish gift, I bought poly gel, so I had that going, my laptop right next to me, I was on a video chat on my phone with a couple of friends going and talking about it as it was playing. And I was like, they gave up their childhood so we can have a childhood. But there's a lot of kids like me who were going through the same thing, just not with directors. And I was feeling for them. And then it put in perspective of Amanda Bynes saying, I went through this, but nobody believing her. And just like Britney Spears, she went crazy too. And I don't think she actually went crazy. I think her parents and media made her go crazy in order to be the crazy one that nobody wanted to listen to.
It's amazing to me. And first of all, for those who have not seen the series, it's something. The four episodes. Mm-hmm. I watch it all in one sitting because I'm like, I can't.
Oh, I did too. Like, I got hooked immediately.
I got hooked. And I'm like, the fact that he told Katrina Johnson, the original All That cast member, like that was going to be Amanda, her spot before Amanda Bynes. But I'm like, the fact like, oh, you know, she's Connor Gettenberg. And I'm like, mm-hmm. She's a teenager. Her body is adapting. It's growing. And first of all, I'm going to say this right now. Katrina Johnson is a beautiful, beautiful human being. She's what a beauty she is, man. Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful woman. But it's stuff like that. It's whether you're talking about weight or whether you're talking about this and you're putting seeds and shit into people's heads. It's like, it's so wrong, man. It's emotional distress and it's distress as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. And I cannot wait to see the day that every single one of them, whether they went through it or not, just being near that man, you need some sort of therapy. Like, and then the interview, I forgot who his name was, that interviewed Dan Schneider, and he was like, well, I don't remember doing this and everything like that. I'm like, we got receipts of you doing that, backstage videos. Do you not remember like cell phone videos coming to the internet in the early days of catching everything? But
no, I know who you're talking about. The dude who was on iCarly interviewed Dan Schneider for his YouTube channel, and I watched like the 19-20 minutes of that. I'm like, this is complete and utter damage control. Like, he's like, oh, shit, they're talking about me, so now I got to go. Yeah, that's
now I got to play pretend that that never happened or gaslight everybody stating, well, it wasn't meant like that. And I'm like, okay, I'm turning this off. I cannot, I can't listen to liars anymore.
I got through, like, a minute of it because I'm like, all right, let me see where this goes. And then he's like, you know what? If I did this to you, then I do apologize. If I did this to you, man, you know.
Yeah, if I did this to you, I'm sorry. Yeah, you want to give me therapy for that too? You want to give me, like, counseling, anything?
And the best part is, now he's suing the producers of Quiet on Set.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm like, okay, so you're covering your tracks like you did with Amanda Bynes, with Jeanette. And, I mean, Jeanette actually kind of inspired me to write my own book as well. When her book came out, I actually had a job, really going easy job. So I was able to listen to music and podcasts and everything like that. When her book came out, that's all I listened to like the entire time. And I brought that idea to my therapist, and she's like, well, if she did it, do you want to do it? I was like, yes, because more people are going to start coming out about the abuse too. So it's yes. If I can get myself, even if I send you and everybody else, my therapist a copy, and I help 10 people, that's still 10 people that looked up to me and was like, if she can do it, I can do it.
Agreed, man. And I mean, I look at it like this. I think with people and everybody telling their stories and really putting everything into the forefront, so to speak, I think something I've always, and I could say this as a young man now, as a 32-year-old man, the fact that, like, you know, speaking up more, number one, but also number two, it's like when you grow up with, for me, like growing up with a learning disability and ADD and all that stuff, you don't want to like speak up or like ask questions because you think you feel dumb. But I'm like, yeah. No, because we all learn at a different pace, number one, but also number two, it's like, fuck that. Just like ask questions, speak up, be honest, man.
It took me a long time to start asking for help, even in school. I'm like, I don't want to be looked at like the weird kid that is constantly asking for help. So I never asked, and then I constantly failed. And I kicked myself in the ass for that. But it also wasn't my fault growing up, moving around a lot, that both my stepdad and my mother, who claims she has no idea what he did. That's a whole fucking story and a half too. But constantly moving around, he made me not care about myself, about school, about any of that. So I just kind of gave up. But it took me a long time. Even now, I still struggle with it. But I'm starting to ask for help. Because if you don't ask for help, you're never going to get the answer. And you can go use AI, but AI is a freaking robot. You need another human connection and another thought bouncing off of you for you to find the answer that you're looking for.
And it's not kind of like the thing with like parents too, like when stuff is happening, they kind of like pretend like it's not happening, which is like, which is a horrible way to really think that. It's like, and I'll say this because it just passed. It's like when the two gentlemen who shot up at Columbine, which I cannot believe came upon that anniversary. I'm like, okay, like the fact that I think she knew they were, the mother like has wished like, you know, she would have done a better job. But it's just like, okay, you know, your kids are getting picked on and you see their behavior. You're around these kids. Yep. Like they're your kids. And these mofos are bringing guns and shooting her, asking her, you know, if she believes in God and shoots her dead. It's like, you could talk about Marilyn Manson and all that stuff, but I'm like, okay, Marilyn Manson like doesn't make a lot of kids want to shoot up schools. I'm sorry. Like I listened to
his movie, he technically didn't do any of the killings himself. He was just the cult leader.
Right. It's just like, I've always said this. I'm like, you don't know that Marilyn Manson makes people want to shoot up the school or do violent things. Like maybe some people just want to listen to the music because they like the music.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, I think being more attentive and being more in there, like whether it's parenthood or what have you, I think what you're doing here not only makes a difference, but I think a lot of people in this world, instead of just being complacent and just want to kind of, you know, stay in the norm, going outside the box and outside the norm, expressing creativity, but also at the same time, making a difference and the purpose behind what you're doing, that sets the tail, that sets the stage for where you're going to go in life and who you are as a person. It's adaptation. Yeah. It's everything, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually am currently writing an essay in college about why students drop out of college and mental health. That was the main focus on me. And it can be applied everywhere too, is mental health is such a predominant thing. Being a human, we're just wires and electrical impulses and everything like that. Everybody needs help. Mentally, physically, emotionally, doesn't matter what it is, you need help. For parents not to see the children getting hurt, doing the hurt, you have to be dumb, blind, and stupid, pretty much.
Right. It's that thing too, as well as, and I've always said this, I mean, we always hear like, the overall cliche of, okay, with parents, it's like, all right, you can't be your kid's best friend. You also have to be a parent. Because there are parents like that. They just want to be their best friend. And it's interesting to me because I've always felt like, yes, you can love your kid, you could have that close relationship with his kid, but discipline also comes along with the territory
yes.
of being a parent.
Yeah.
And if you can't fucking do that, it's like, then why the hell are you being a parent? Why are you having yep. kids?
Yeah.
There's many layers to everything with life and parenting, what have you. And I think people need to realize the layers and the overall levels that come with everything, right?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. At least get psyche valve before being a parent to even see that you are in the mental capacity to be a parent, because I'm hearing horror stories to the point where I'm crying constantly of parents killing their children because they're losing their mental stability. Children are crying. The one recently where she went on vacation for 11 days and left her child alone. Like, if you're even thinking about going down that path, go get help. Or take your child to somebody you trust and go get help. And yeah, there's a lot of people in my eye that just needs that little extra and are not willing to ask for it and not willing to put the time in, and especially being a parent. Because like you said, you don't want to be the parent's or the child's friend. You also need to be a parent. But there is a middle ground to where both of you can thrive, or however many children you have. You guys can thrive together, but you still have that little bit of dominance over your children because you are the parent. But you're not taking the dominance to a dominant level, you know?
Right. And I think with how parents are, and I mean, we'll equate it to LFC because, again, I think what I love about this forum, not only having the fighters and the staff, but we get to have great fans like you, Miss Felicia Polifka, really assess and get to know a lot of the great people that love our product and the people and the individuals themselves. I think what I always equate it to, it's like, okay, you may disagree with what that person does and you could be a parent, what have you. But at the end of the day, if they're not hurting anybody and if they're just mm-hmm. doing what they love and it's their career, if somebody wants to put on some lingerie and fight, you know what, they're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, not only are they grown, but also number two, we mentioned the sex appeal earlier. If that person, not only the escape, but they can really gravitate towards and okay, hey, I see a person like this, they're looking sexy and they're also applying their craft from that athletic standpoint. They're golden, but also at the second time too, it's like maybe that woman wants to try on some lingerie. Okay, they're wearing lingerie. Maybe this is what I like. This is how I like mm-hmm. to feel sexy in the lingerie. It's not just the overall sex appeal and the external and internal beauty, but it's a foundation. And if that's their mm-hmm. foundation, let that be their foundation, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I have to ask you, because I think a lot of people talk about it. I think for you, looking at lingerie in itself, and I mean you being the woman that you are, a very strong, mm-hmm. independent, beautiful woman, how awesome is that to add that little exterior, that little aesthetic, if you will, from the style point of view to a product like that?
It's more of a comfortability type of thing. It's just, yes, it might be a sexy piece of clothing, but it's also a part of myself or part of my friends. One of my good friends who was an amazing babysitter and an amazing friend, I met her the very first day I met her. I was shooting her in lingerie doing a full goddess shoot. And we became friends off of that shoot and getting to know her and everything. Like, she introduced me to her closet of lingerie. I'm like, so when your kids aren't here, she goes, I'm walking around. I'm being comfortable. I am sexy in my own body. And I'm like, good for you. Power to you. Like, yeah, do it.
And that's the thing. I mean, we're also kind of speaking like we're Shia LaBeouf up in here. Just do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's one of those things. And I think, and not only just do it, but also, and I think a lot of people, and I've always said this, like, we're always a parent to the question why, right? It's become one mm-hmm. of the most oldest in adages ever. The one oldest question that has been here for the stance of time, friggin' why. I mean, you always have to answer back, like, why not, right? I think a lot of people the why not part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You always have to answer back, why not? And then you leave most people dumbfounded. Like, why are you doing that? Why not? Does it make you happy? Is it hurting you? am I infecting you? Oh, not infecting. I mean, yeah, sure. Affecting you in any sort of way?
Right.
No, then why not?
Exactly. So pretty much what we're saying here, folks, we're like the Hillary Duff of this podcast. Why not? That's what we're like the Hillary Duff up in here. But no, I think what you all should, why not, you should do is also check out Felicia and her content from photography and also her book that'll be coming out. And I can't wait till it does come out. I know there's a lot of work that's going to go into it, but the grind never stops. And I can't wait to see the little stuff that you put into it from the overall cover, from everything that it goes in there. And I'm going to say one more time, that is very appreciative. It's very honorable that you put me in the book. I truly do appreciate that. It really touches my heart.
It may be, I think it was like only a couple of sentences, but you were brought up in a way of honorability, I should say. Yeah.
Well, no, that says it right there to me. I mean, for me, whether it be you, whether it be people, I mean, you pride yourself on being that best representation of your presentation of people and your colleagues, what have you, and in life. So if that can, if I had an effect on you, many I had effect on others. So that's really good. It really does touch my heart, like you do with your work, man, because you're a strong and amazing person. I can't wait to see where life takes you from here.
I mean, wherever it takes me, gonna fight all the negative and keep going. I do not plan on leaving this world without leaving so much betterment behind, whether it is artistry, writing, poetry, because I dabbled into that, painting. I'm jack of all trades when it comes to anything artistic wise. And it's not that I want to put my name out there in every form. It's I want to try to have a genuine human connection off of anything artistry, whether it be the book, the photography, just like if you get an emotion, any emotion other than angry, I hope not angry, but if you have happiness, excitement, curiosity, inspiration is one that I'm heavily going towards for both book and pictures. Just anything, I did my job.
I like that. Evoking emotions, eliciting reactions. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Now, I think when it comes to that, not only is that rewarding for a lot of people, but it does, again, we pulls on the heartstrings, touches one heart. So my message with the show each and every time you folks hear this is beauty, strength, and dominance, the three key elements that make women the work of art that they are. So I ask you, Felicia Polifka, FP and the place to be, what does beauty, strength, and dominance mean to Felicia Polifka? Because it's very empowering, all three of those words. What does that mean to you, Felicia?
Hard work and determination and pretty much fight back with every fiber of your being to put yourself where you want to be and where you need to be. Like I was saying, I grew up with a hardship of life. I was not letting that stop me. I want to keep going until I have my last breath at 100 years old or so. I'm going to still be here for quite some time. And if you get in my way wrong, I will put you in your place. I will definitely tell you, you're being an ass. Get out of my face. You do not belong in my little happy bubble. And it's not I'm living in bliss. I'm living in, you know, all of that. It is what does it make me happy? Like anything and everything. If you put any sort of negative anything in my bubble, you're out. I've been through enough. I don't want to keep going with the negative. I'm going to make sure everybody that is within that bubble, whether it be me and my partner, my children, my friends, colleagues, acquaintances, you're in that bubble, including yourself. I'm looking out for you, and I hope they're looking out for me too.
Beautifully said, and the feeling is mutual, ma'am. So I think a lot of people can attest to that. And I will say this before we close this out: life is an art form. We are all applying our crafts, and you guys continue to apply your craft in amazing fashion, including you, Miss Felicia Polipka. And before we close this out, ma'am, where can we follow you on the social media fronts, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, TikTok?
I have a Twitter, but that's personal. I have Instagram, I have TikTok, I have Facebook, and I have a YouTube page. There's not a whole lot of things on my Instagram. Oh, and I have a web page as well. All social media is at Polipka Photography. The website, which I'm doing a whole mass overhaul, so excuse that there's not a whole lot going on. The one that does have a lot of pictures, including the Red Riding Hood one, is going to be Facebook. I have not gone through and cleaned everything up, but the website is polipkaphotography.bloom.io. So on there, it's just thank you for being patient. We're cleaning and everything. I actually just added my second picture to Instagram earlier today called Metamorphosis. It is just another self-portrait, but it's going to start giving you the feel of where I'm going. So you could take my Instagram and bring up my YouTube and my TikTok, have a couple of videos, and Facebook, like I said, have a lot more pictures. So you could take all of them and just kind of look at where I've come from. And then the Instagram is where I'm going with it. So I have a lot to not play catch up, but I got to figure out how to do everything. And the crown right there is actually what I was wearing in the hypnosis picture and Metamorphosis.
Can I just say, first and foremost, not number one, that's a badass crown, as y'all can see in the background there. That is a badass crown, man. I got to give you kudos. I like that. I like that little aesthetic too. Very nice. And links will be in the description below this audio, except for Twitter. I refuse to call it X. Not going to do it.
Oh, yeah. No, I will still call it Twitter. When I Google it, it's Twitter.
I refuse to do it. But yes, excluding the Twitter, y'all can check out Felicia on these amazing platforms. Give her a follow because you're a great follow with your imagery and whatnot. So kudos. And YouTube, hit that subscribe button as we all do. And if you want to check out LFC, Lingerie Fighting Championships, as you can see, peep the shirt. Lingerie Fighting Championships, LFCfights.com for all your LFC needs. Y'all can get some Exposed, the LFC reality series. You can check out this podcast right here, these two faces on this edition of the pod. You can check out LFC live events, LFC 38, Angels and Little Devils from the FSW Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can check out LFC 39, Goddess Among Us from Kissimmee, Florida. Flo Rida, if you will, but we ain't about that O-Town life. But you could be the star of our liquid dreams. Yes, I went there. You can check out Lingerie Fighting Championships on the YouTube channel. You can check out LFC_fights on Twitter, Fights_LFC on Instagram, and LFC Fights on the tickety talk. And no, I'm not talking about that dog on clock from Blue's Clues, baby. Yes, I went there as well. So if you want to check out yours truly, SM Show on MCL92, Larkin_92, MLarkinMB on the Instagram, and MikeLarkin92 on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And Felicia Polipka, not only being my friend, not only being an amazing talent and human being and a fan of this product, which I'm glad you like the product, because ever since I started doing this, like, you've been very supportive of the product, and we truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what my friends do. I'm going to be their number one cheerleader. And even if they stop and go a different direction, well, let's go. Tell me what you do, and I'm going to support it. I've actually, one of my other photographer friends also has an apothecary. I just bought incense and candles off of her, and she gave me soap crystals and everything else. I'm like, okay, so what kind of review do you want me to leave? How many free things did you just give me?
I did that exact same thing, because it's funny, like, we talk about books. So one of my wrestling buddies, his name is David, he wrote like 2 books, and I'm like, bro, like, first of all, that's awesome, number one, because if you want to dabble outside of wrestling and do your creativity, books are the way to go, as you can attest, my fellow author here. like, dude, I'll leave a review. Because if you leave a review, then, hey, maybe somebody else will see this and go, hey, oh, this person likes it. Maybe now I want to read something. There you go. It's word of mouth.
It is not that hard to write a book. I am not a person to write. Mine is more of the imagery and everything. It's take it slow. If you're going to write something, take it real slow. And you are not going to perfect it. That's why I said it's the beginning rough draft, the rough draft of rough drafts, before it even gets to the stage of it's a final edit.
All right. Well, the journey is worth taking, and the story, as the rest is yet to be unwritten. Yes, I quoted Natasha Bedingfield. I'm a pop culture fanatic up in here, and you can attest to this. So if y'all want to hear some pop culture antidotes and you want to see some LFC goodness, check it out. Subscribe at lfcfights.com and check out my guest Felicia Polifka once more. And Miss Polifka, before we close this out, and your badassery, like all the talent here at LFC, yeah baby, do you have any final words to the LFC faithful, and do you have any final words to the people who are going to listen to this pod?
Leave here feeling joy, excitement, and that you're being seen and heard.
Beautifully and eloquently said, and I take that in, as you all should. And as always, to close out this show, as the title of the show is, there you go, beauty, strength, and dominance, the three key elements that make women the work of art that they are. And Felicia Polifka, I include you in those sentiments. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
For a good time, honey, I'm right here. I'm right here. If you're looking for a good night, good vibes, honey, I'm right here. I'm right here. And I'm waiting for you. And I love you in your summer skin. Looking at you, looking like you're into it. If you're looking for a good time, honey, I'm